Dear Father, we receive your word this evening to open us into the wondrous things that you have in plan, in store for your church and through your church. We know there is no error in its atmosphere, so we receive revelation that is found only in your Son, Jesus. Let every heart and eye behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him, that as we fellowship around your word, he remains glorified, and we are edified for furtherance of the gospel of your Son in the earth. Amen. And so I would share with us briefly. I call it brief because it's going to be. Just want to share with us things not to forget. Hallelujah. Things not to forget. One of the attributes of spiritual growth is the characteristic of not forgetting important things. There are things not to forget. And when we say forget, we're not just talking about remembering like you remember a date. In James 1, James says that lay aside every filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, James 1:21, and receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save the soul. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That means if you hear it and you don't do it, it says you are deceiving yourself. And the Greek word there, paralogizomai, has two things together. The word para, which means beside, and then the word logizomai. And that word means to take account beside, which means that you act otherwise. You lay it aside. You act otherwise. It's a word used for to act otherwise. That's the best way to say it at this point. Deceiving your own self. Say, if any be a hearer, not a doer, is likened unto a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, then he says, straightway he forgets the manner of man he was. And the word forget there is nothing close to having a memory loss. It means he doesn't take account. He doesn't see it as something he needs now. So he says, forgetteth the manner of man he was. But look at the contrast. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, he says, and continues therein. The word continues therein means to continue to look. Not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. He says that man is blessed in his deeds. In other words, there is power in not forgetting. You have to put certain things before your face, before your eyes. And why is it like that? Because oftentimes we leave our prayer closets, our Bible study closets, we leave our special meetings, and we confront contradictory circumstances. And we have the tendencies to forget. Not because you cannot remember, but it's not something you have placed in your mind. Proverbs 4:20, Solomon says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. So which means you have to give it first place. So forgetting here will mean something you are not giving an important role. You talk about everything but that important role. And I want to say this to us, as a fellow minister with you, a brother in Christ, and to some of us, or most of us, a pastor, that if we can regularly consult things we have heard before, things we have been told before, things that we had seen before, we'll avoid mistakes today. It's only an upstart that tells you that experience does not matter. When it comes to the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, particularly the work of oversight and ministry, experience matters a lot. You will see the difference between somebody who has, let's use the word, has acquired wisdom by time, and someone who has not. So, you should never play down on experience. You should see experience as important, which means where you go back and retrieve things you have heard before or things that you had seen before. So we have a duty to not forget. Paul, writing to Timothy again, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you put verse 6, the brethren in remembrance of these things. In remembrance of these things. Which means there are things the brethren must remember. In 2 Timothy 2:8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. One of the things that Jesus said that the Spirit of Truth will come to do in John 14:26, he will put you in remembrance or bring to your remembrance the things that I have said unto you or have taught you. In John's Gospel again, chapter 2, we find that upon the resurrection, the disciples remembered, verse 22, that he has said this unto them. So there are things you should remember, things you don't forget. Things you don't forget that are useful today. Learn not to forget. Learn not to forget those important things. And I often tell, for example, where you have a particular utterance, which is the gifts of either tongues or interpretation and prophecy that come with revelation, and certain things are repeated. It simply means there are things you should not forget. There are things you must not forget. You have to remember them. That's why Paul will tell Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:14. He says, neglect not the gift which is in thee. 1 Timothy 4:14. Given thee by prophecy and the laying on of hands of the elders. A very similar word to what we read earlier. Or we mentioned earlier in James 1:23, forgetteth the manner of man that he was. Don't neglect it. Don't abandon those things. We all have a tendency to face what is happening now and not look back at what we have heard before now. He says, neglect it not. So the first thing that you must not neglect, the first thing that you must not forget, are the experiences the Lord gave you, has granted you, that in the course of ministry. You mustn't forget it. You mustn't forget the experiences He has led you through. Some of those things are not nice when they are happening. Today when I share some of these experiences, some of you are laughing. I wish I could laugh when it happened. But you know what? It was then now, has become wisdom and guide or guidance and light unto many today. Just like many other people who are before me and, you know, that I look up to and many people around the world like that. So, you must not downplay those experiences. They may have happened when you were younger, less knowledgeable. I remember someone, a friend like that, made a comment. And I felt that comment was very heavy. I shared it recently. I'm saying it today because it's been years. And he said, well, all those things that we were all just doing, he said, let's forget it. They were just child's play, you know, and the reason why he said it was because at that point we were facing all sorts of criticisms. I think he gave in to them. So I told him, I said, well, that is for you. For me, it is not child's play. It may have not looked important then, but I know one day they will become a stepping stone unto other things. I said it very clearly, and he just laughed and moved away. And I reminded him years later what he said. He had forgotten, but I did not forget. So you should not downplay the experiences. Some of them will look tough. Those people that, some of those hardliner disciples you try to follow up. Some of the times that you started church work and you know, it looked like it was the low moments for you in ministry. Those things will look tough. But when you look at that, the facts of the gospel is a mixed grill. We call it good news. But in the good news is a grief. In the good news is betrayal. In the good news, what we call the good news of Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3, how Christ died for our sins. He didn't die by a car accident. He was betrayed, lied against, murdered, eventually was buried and rose the third day. So within the facts of the gospel that we preach today are some not so good experiences. Like we read yesterday, it says, consider Jesus, who, you know, endured the contradiction of sinners, the mockery, the shame, who for the joy set before us, Hebrews 12, to endure the cross. So you look at it's a mixed grill of experiences. And so you mustn't, you know, downplay. The sufferings of Christ today have become wisdom to us. They become the gospel to us. They become the message to us. That's why Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in speaking to the Corinthian church, he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, he says, who comforts us, said the God of all comfort, 3, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Which means God will grant you experiences, some of them are not too nice. And those experiences will become like comfort to other people. So you don't forget them. You don't downplay them. You don't despise them. Don't in any way neglect them, despise them, or speak low concerning those things. It's a training process, and so you mustn't forget them. So the first thing you mustn't forget, don't forget the godly, spiritual experiences you have had. Like I said, it's a mixed grill of not too nice ones, not too lovely things, but they have made you a mature Christian, a minister who can help others. Hallelujah. I love that song, sung by Zido Mwen. Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, I use it for your glory. You know, of course, it's not talking about sin. He's talking about those experiences that come to you by the way of serving the Lord. They become useful, effective, even unto others. Hallelujah. In Psalm 78, we see something about the man David, a character that deserves very close study because of the personality that he has acquired within the epistles, and of course, the four gospels, Psalm 78, and verse 72. I'll start from 70. He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfold, and from following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. I want us to read verse 72 together. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. The skillfulness there will mean the expertise he got over time. How in little things, insignificant issues, he found out that God was training him. Just like Moses, who found himself at the back of the desert and he was guiding sheep. Eventually, he became the shepherd of Israel. Same thing as David. Those experiences become useful. So he says, by the integrity of his heart, we'll look at that later, and says, the skillfulness of his hands. Learn not to despise your experiences. Hallelujah. I said, learn not to despise your experiences. Don't call you know, some things you shouldn't say. Don't say our small church. Don't say things like that. Don't say that small work. It's just a little, I know you are trying to be humble, but don't be silly. A little ministry there. Don't say things like that. Those things are part of what God is doing in the earth and part of what He's doing through you. Zechariah says that you must not despise the days of small beginnings. An instruction in scripture. Don't despise it. They make you effective. That's why, even today, no matter what you are doing, ensure you are faithful with it. Don't wait until you are talking to 1 million people. In fact, you won't get 1 million people. You know, ensure that you are faithful because those experiences become useful. So the first thing, do not forget those experiences. They become useful. Sometimes you notice that it's almost like in God leading you in certain things, He will bring back an experience and then you know what to do. Who's following what I'm saying here? You will just see an experience flash before you like this and it is God leading you. So ensure that you don't forget those experiences. Those experiences, those things that God in leading others, God has made you look through. Some of them are, like I said, tough. They are not the nice stories, but they eventually become comfort unto others. And maybe I should add this. You will be grateful later that you did not give up. If there's something you mustn't, it mustn't be an option. Giving up must never be an option. Today you are grateful. You are glad that you didn't give up. So when you are sharing it, somebody in that situation, when he hears you, is inspired. I mean, have you heard people tell you that when you were just saying those things, it was like, wow. So you mean you've seen this before, and that's all they needed to obey God. So don't forget it. Don't forget the experiences. Don't forget them. Don't forget it. Don't forget them. Don't forget them. Don't forget them. They become useful. When you say somebody is a wise person, he's not wise because he has knowledge. He's also wise because he has used the knowledge. He knows exactly what you are talking about. He knows what it's all about. So, first thing, do not forget the experiences that you have passed through in the place of ministry. Become useful. Today, when it comes to ministry, I tell people you listen to those who have gone ahead of you. When an older minister is talking, you keep quiet. Because God will be talking to you through His experiences. And then you will learn, you know, and all that. I remember I told you this about, you know, years ago. I was wondering why I was always discouraged. I would just be discouraged when I was preaching. So one day, Brother Hagee was talking. And he said that he told the ushers, they should not, because I thought it was faith, to just have so many chairs. You know, you get a big hall. You are just 3 people in the ministry, but you get a very big hall. And then the hall is, you know, and you said people will come. I speak faith that you'll just come from nowhere. And so, I remember one meeting like that. We had people that packed the equipment there. We had people that held the meeting. And I was like, after, you know, and it was, I was wondering what was wrong. I was just not happy. So Brother Hagin said that if you have empty chairs, that it discourages a minister. I said, it is true. So I started telling people, pack the chairs. When people come in, add the chairs. It looks very insignificant, but it's so important that when people share those kind of things, you will see that it's like an answer to your prayer. Let me see how you're following what I'm talking about. So you must not forget those things. I remember somebody was talking to me on the phone, and so he said, are you still there, sir? I was laughing. He said, sir, did you hear what I said? I said, that's why I'm laughing. He said, sir, what do you mean? So, when I now shared an experience with him, he said, oh, so it's not the devil. I said, it's not the devil. It's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I said, me too, I thought it was the devil. Amen. So, you are not wrong. So, you need someone like me to take your eyes off the devil. Hallelujah. So, the experiences, they matter. That's why when people come, that's why you mustn't waste the experience. You mustn't waste the experience. They will come back and become ministry to others. The second thing that you mustn't forget. You mustn't forget instructions. I'd rather say prophecy, but I won't say it straight like that. You mustn't forget instructions. You mustn't forget instructions. And you know, we are in a generation that we like new things. We are not careful. You would just like new, some of us just like new things. We said about restlessness. You just like new things. And rather than obey the one you heard yesterday, you want to hear something very new. The many things you have written down as prophecies, which of them did you go back to check whether you have obeyed them? Pay attention to prophecies. Paul says, neglect not the gift which was given thee by prophecy. 1 Timothy 1:18. He says, prophecies have gone before you, that you with them wage a good warfare. Why didn't he give him a new one? He didn't add to the prophecies. He only said, use the ones that you have been given before. Don't become a warehouse of prophecy and you act on none. Just a warehouse of prophecy. I go back to prophecy of years before. And that's why today I remember many of them. And I go back and I say, which of them is left here? Which of them have we not done here? I remember I was talking to our pastors a couple of weeks ago or months. And I said, remember the utterance we got in 2015. I said, this is the instruction. We mustn't go beyond it. We must stay there. So you don't forget prophecies. Don't forget them. Don't be inclined to hear something very new. And some of us, when we hear a walk, the walk, and you hear the walk, you think the walk, and we'll talk about that one. You think the walk is just go somewhere else. The walk is what you are doing now. I say walk. The walk of the ministry. God is not one, what do I call it now? Careless administrator of things. He wants you to be faithful. The ones that he had given you, what have you done with it? So when you get an instruction, you listen to it again and again and again. I've always told you, if you pay attention to the things that you were instructed of before, there are many mistakes you will not make today. Ensure that you don't forget instructions. Things you've been told. Instructions. He says, they have gone before. Now look at what he says in 1 Timothy 1:18. He says, you wage a good warfare. Which means that prophecies are not eclairs. It's not sweet. It's not candy. It's not chocolate. Oh, I love that prophecy. You know, there was one guy like that. He used to, in the Baranet, he said, I like the way that guy prophesies. He has a way with prophecy. I was like, he said, when you hear him speak in tongues, you will like it. You know, very carnal brethren. You know, that's not the point. He said, you will with them wage a good warfare. That is, they are instruments of war. Which means when a prophecy comes, you go to war. You don't just say, hallelujah. I remember years ago, we were just inaugurated the Faith Family Network. So we had this prayer meeting, I think it was about that. Then we now had storm. So we had series of meetings like this, and we prayed through. So in the midst of the meetings, we now had a lot of utterances. So people were really, you know, they were really thrilled. Thrilled. Interestingly, one of the people, let me just keep that. We were really thrilled. We were saying, we're going to the nation. Everybody was, so they noticed I was quiet. So they were like, you know, everybody, you know, there's a way you can bounce out of the Holy Ghost within feeling that you have taken the world. So they were, so the minute I was very quiet. So I said, I don't know why you are all excited. I said, Pastor, I don't know, because at that point, some of them, it was going to be the first time that they will pastor a church. We had about 7 like that, that we started then. Saints Court, Harvest House, Word of Faith Center, House of Faith, Faith Family, I think about 6. Then, so, everybody was excited, you know, carrying the, like, you think ministry is wearing graduation gown. Or, I don't know, what do you think it is? Like, they are saying that imagine the commission, you say we are going to Boko Haram, and you say, I say, come on, let's just, give me coke there, man. We're going to Boko Haram. Did you hear what they said? we're going to an ISIS ISWAP territory, that we're going there to confront, say, are you serious? Do you have a translation problem? is it the language you didn't get? That's why I see people when they are ordained to ministry and then they are doing party. I don't understand it. People, I'm telling you, they will cook Nigerian jollof. The one that is, what's going on? I've just been ordained to ministry. And God. Yeah? In Acts 14, when Paul told them, when he ordained them to ministry, he said, he encouraged them, said, through suffering, you will enter. That was the way he encouraged them on the ordination service. You will enter into the kingdom. He said, through suffering. Are you getting what I'm saying? When Paul was called to ministry, Acts 9, he said, I will show him great things, he will suffer for my name's sake. So what is exciting you? Are you starting a bar? Or a nightclub? I don't want to say football club because of things that are happening now in the world. Why are you laughing? That things happening around generally, that there are signs of the end time. God punish Satan. And red devils. What does that mean, Jerry? You know, you see, what are you excited about? Yes, we're excited at the end. Yes, but there's work to be done. He said, no. Many people who prophesy things we're doing today, some, they're not even in the ministry again. Because there's work. I know somebody like that who record all prophecies and in fine writing. You know, nice handwriting, like a scribe, like Ezra. But today, because you don't know, it is warfare. You don't forget it. Then don't be so particular about, and then the light will shine. The light will shine. And as you step forth, the miraculous, you see, don't forget, is the sufferings of Christ and the glory. There is something else you are not paying attention to. Maybe there is, and you will pray. You forgot that one. He's not saying, bless his food, O Lord, for Christ's sake. You know, if God says, pray and labor. If God says, labor. God, he says, labor. You know, he knows the meaning of the word. You get it? And he says, and you will live a life of sanctification and obedience. You forget that one. And you give me your nights and your days. You forget that one. Yes, sir. And then, as you step forth, and you step forth. And then you look forth. Oh, yea, I see many rise. See, listen to me. I know what I'm saying, you know. As it were. There was a time. All the prophecies in our ministry then in the 90s, you were all, there's one word you find there. A fool of. You are not around there. So one guy, as he was prophesying, I said, don't say fool of. So you see, but the thing is that we forget the instructions. Wage a good warfare. Some of them are instructions about our habits, about our moral lives. We ignore it. You say, and then you rise. I remember years ago, I gave a prophecy to some new converts, because they are new converts. Most of them got born again in July. The meeting happened in August. So as I told them, I said, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, you know, and they were so excited. So I traveled to go and preach elsewhere. It was 1995, I think, yeah? 5 or 4, one of the two. And so, by the time I came back, they had given themselves ministry gifts. Apostle, prophet, evangelist. I said, yeah? New convert, though. If I one of them, I think I led him to the Lord, or the second one, at a 4-square camp like this. What year was that again? Yeah, the same year. So I was there. He said, Evan B. When I came, I said, you are Evan B. You are prophet, pastor. I said, so what am I? Yahweh. You are not serious. You are not serious. Too excited. There's work to be done. There are vigils to have. There's labor. There's endurance of pain, discomfort. Because you heard the prophecy would not mean that when you get back to your work, your colleagues at work will say, come, I can see the glory of God all over you. Don't deceive yourself. They won't see it. Amen. Some people will still insult you. Some will mock you. Even people you think will encourage you will discourage you. But he said, with them, you what? You wage a good warfare. So you must be work conscious. You must not forget instructions. Don't forget. Instructions must not be forgotten. Always recollect. Let me say something. You know, Paul, in 2 Timothy 4, he says, for the time will come, so preach the word, be instant, is not out of season. He says, the time will come when people will no longer endure sound doctrine. He says, they will no longer endure sound doctrine. They will have itching ears, heap up teachers. And the Greek of that heap up means they will go and procure it by themselves. You know, you can decide what you want to be heard. You can. I know people that will go around social media looking for somebody who is preaching something that is attacking somebody they don't like. You are not just jobless. You are an idiot. How would you be using your life like that? To be looking for someone who is attacking somebody on their behalf. Abba. That means you are looking for something that will satisfy you. There was a guy I called. I said, the only post of mine I see that you share is when I am maybe talking about a false doctrine. Why is that the only thing you are excited about? Who are you fighting? I said, nothing, Rabbi. Do the right thing. You just want to hear something. Listen carefully. He said, they will turn from the truth to fables, which means you can get to a point. You want to determine what you want to hear. I know some people say, no, I'm just being discerning. You're not discerning. You are only itching in your ears. You want to hear something new. That's why I tell some people, because you have seen an article that I wrote in 2012, I bring it back, you say, I've seen it before. That is the beginning of trouble. The Bible in your hands, was it written tonight? Why did you say, I've seen this Bible before? Go and get the Quran. That one too. After a while, you have seen it before. No. I told you yesterday, information excites who? Babies. It is repetition that breeds disciples. Listen to the instruction. Don't want something that will satisfy you. Before you say, that guy is a law preacher. Law preacher. Anything that is being preached that they don't like is the law. Which law? Which law? Whose law? Constitutional law or criminal law? Is it not in your Bible? So people are more particular about who killed Ananias and Sapphira than knowing they should not lie. Who killed Herod? Why did he die like that? Do you want to call yourself God? I'm just asking, you know. No, I'm just asking just so we do, so we can know the character of God. It's not just character of God. It's Roman numeral. You say to people, husband and wife, they lie to pastor. You ignore lying. You ignore pastor. They're now saying, what's the consequence? Die. That's the consequence. Death. Eh? But we know in the character of God, there's no key. You go and lie first. You see the character of God. Go and lie. Do you get it? You want to hear something that will satisfy you. There was one article I posted one year. It was about faithfulness and service. So I now use Matthew 25, the parable of those who visited in prison, those who said, well, who is my, he that went, anything you do to this ones you have done unto me, done to my brethren, and those who visited in prison, those who visited those who were sick, and then the ending of that parable was that some were now cast into utter darkness. So the guy now asked me, he said, sir, I'm wondering whether that parable is for the church. I said, why? He said, because that utter darkness part, hell. I said, are you planning not to care for his brethren? He said, no, I'm just asking because I think it's not for the church. I said, is it the church that should not care for the brethren? He said, I know, I'm just looking at, you know, our doctrine of eternal. I said, you are who? You are who have the doctrine? Who signed with you? I'm not serious. Say, if you don't care for the brethren, you will go to hell. He said, ha! I said, all your homes are disappear. Come on! Say, I take all of God's word. I take all of God's instructions. Amen? Don't have itching ears. Don't forget instructions. Don't forget instructions. For everything God will have us do, He will give us work to do. He will give us work to do. Acts 13. Separate unto me, verse 2, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them. So God simply repeated what He has said before. Many times prophecies will be repeated. It's only the vocabulary the verbiage that will change. You are hearing the same thing. So you keep doing the same thing. You keep doing the same thing. You keep doing the same thing. I was talking to Brother Tokes last night, or early this morning, about 1 a.m. or 2 or 3 a.m. or so. And he said, we're talking about a particular utterance. And I said, you know, these things are so much in the past that I don't think we're taking heed to them. He said, it's true. That, you know, there's nothing new God is saying through any preacher. Even when it comes to prophecies. No. It is just reminders. Instructions we almost take heed to. Take heed to it. So don't forget experiences. Don't forget instructions. Finally, this is almost the same. Don't forget leadings of the Spirit. Don't forget leadings of the Spirit. I pray for you that you don't start leading yourself. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't start leading yourself. Because of what God is leading you to do, you don't like it. You now start leading yourself. Don't forget leadings of the Spirit. Because along the line, you are going to get suggestions. People are going to tell you, why not let's do this? Imagine Paul, Acts 21. The brethren came to him, verse 5 or so, and they said, look, they constrained him that he should not go to Jerusalem. Acts 21. Later on, Philip's daughters prophesied. We are not told the content, but it appeared it was all in one accord. Acts 21, verse 4, sorry. Then Agabus now came. And then the brethren came and said, He said, look, Paul, verse 12, we think you should not go to Jerusalem. He said, no. He said, this is the will of God. That is, he was convinced. This is even not just suggestions. These are people speaking as it were under inspiration. And giving their own interpretation. He said, no, that's not what God told me. You should be faithful. You see, Jesus said, when you are faithful with little, you are giving more. If you are faithful, if you are unfaithful with an instruction, you can't get another one. The only instruction you will get again is go back to what you ought to have done. Where you are falling, go back there. That's why I always warn people, don't abandon ministry work. Don't abandon. Don't do it, oh. You don't, God values His flock. Don't treat the flock anyhow. Whatever you do to the flock of God, you will be rewarded. If you take advantage of the flock, if you lie to the flock, if you cheat the flock, if you manipulate the flock, you will be judged. Because this is the reason why Jesus hung on the cross. You will be judged though. That's why Paul says, after I preached unto others, lest I become a castaway. 1 Corinthians 9:27. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. We all will be judged. Every one of us. So, don't abandon the flock. Don't do it. Go and watch people that abandon. They keep abandoning. There will be nothing in their lives that they can hold on to and say they have done for the Lord. Sure that you don't abandon leadings. What you know, let me say this in closing. You see, I know when I'm in knowledge age and people, one of the things I love Brother Hagin for, Kenneth E. Hagin, was as a younger Christian, I was exposed to Brother Hagin early. So he now, I say this very clear so that you get it. He now mentioned the influence of E.W. Kenyon, the way he taught and several testimonies. He said, somebody wants to recommend that people should listen to E.W. Kenyon. So I went after E.W. Kenyon and through a friend. Now, I'm grateful for something. Now, the E.W. Kenyon axis of knowledge was all about truth about who you are in Christ, the wonderful name of Jesus, you know, very great truths that I still affirm and teach to today. But you know something? And listen carefully. There are certain things that Brother Hagin added that were very useful. And one of them is what I'm sharing now, that you won't see in Kenyon books at all, or his materials. And it's clear that God does lead people to places and to people. And I'm saying this very carefully because I don't want to be misconstrued. Is it proper? Is it true that God can lead you to a ministry, a church, and that is where He wants you to be? Yes. Yes. You know, we're in an age where people just come up and just preach without looking at the implication, without looking at the entire counsel of Scripture and what they say. Don't abandon leadings. If God led you to people, doesn't mean that it's going to be smooth. Don't abandon the leading. If God calls you with people, stay with them. If God establishes you somewhere, stay there. That's where He has put you. And that's where you should follow. Don't forget it. Don't forget how He led you. Don't forget who He led you to. Don't forget what He led you for. Don't forget the instructions. And don't forget your experiences. Are you blessed? Let's pray. Pray. And you don't forget. You don't forget. Say, Lord, in this conference, things I've forgotten, bring them back to my remembrance. Things that I have abandoned, let them come back to me. In a gusher. In a gusher. Come on, pray. Things I had forgotten, things I had abandoned, let them come back to me in this conference. Instructions, leadings that I've put aside, expressed that I despised. Lord, I remember in this conference. I remember. I pray for everyone that you will recall the things you should recall in this conference. Pray. You recall. You won't despise these instructions. People He has called you with. Places He has called you to. Things He has called you to do. There are supernatural relationships. That it is God who put you there. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. Don't let any circumstance talk you out of it. Supernatural relationships will come with their own tests and trials. You will be discouraged at some point. You will feel like doing things at some point. But don't forget, God led you there. God led you to the person, to the church, to the ministry, to the city, to the nation. God is the one who led you there. You don't abandon God's work, God's leading because of difficulty. Because somebody annoyed you, somebody offended you. No. Don't forget. You didn't come here by your own will. Don't forget, you didn't go to do it by your own effort. God led you. God led you. He spoke to you. And don't let anyone make you doubt it. You have to be very careful of people that will make you doubt what God told you. Be very careful of hearing the wrong voices. Pray. Come on. Don't forget it. That you won't forget. So you won't talk loosely. You won't think loosely. You are a man under the influence of the Spirit. You are a woman under the direction of the Holy Ghost. Your experiences will become ministry to others in Jesus' name. That your experiences will not be despised. That they will become wisdom for others. That you will not become up-eating ears in prophecy. You will like sweet things. But the ones that give you instructions and work, you will forget them. Every forgetfulness you have experienced as touching God's leadings, instructions and experiences, they are removed from your heart now. Receive remembrance, honor for God's experiences in your life, honor for the instructions, honor for relationships, honor for leadings. That in the year to come, 2021 and more, that you will put in remembrance these experiences, these instructions, these leadings by the Spirit of God. Nothing will shake your focus. Hallelujah. I seem to sense God telling you to go and repair and strengthen relationships He led you to. Repair and strengthen them. In the coming years, we'll learn to walk on these relationships. Don't expect them to walk by themselves. You are going to walk on those relationships by prayer, by obedience, things He has led you towards, people He has led you towards. And those relationships include the flock under your care, because it's also a supernatural relationship. God led you to pastor people. It's a leading of the Spirit. So you will also care for it. You will walk towards it. You will, don't forget the word, repair and strengthen. Some, they are not bad. There's nothing bad. It's going well. But what you will do is that you strengthen it. Don't allow it to go bad first. The ones that are going excellently, strengthen them. The ones that you know are shaking, go and repair it and strengthen them. Hallelujah. Father, we receive your word tonight and we walk in all the obedience in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand to your feet.